In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered particularly for those retreatants who are preparing to seek God when we meet them this week. As well, we ask that you would keep in prayer my friend Father John, who just immediately before our Mass informed me and a couple of other of his good priest friends that he has come down with the present affliction, though he is not having any symptoms at this time. So please pray for Father John as he is struggling in that way. The Lord would care for him and those whom otherwise he would be ministering to. Now for the readings in the vernacular. From the first letter, the Blessed Apostle. From the book of Ecclesiasticus, Sirach. From the beginning and before the world I was created, and under the world to come I shall not cease to be, and in the holy dwelling place I have ministered before him, and so was I established in Sion, in the holy city likewise I rested, and my power was in Jerusalem, and I took root in honorable people, in the portion of my God is his inheritance, and mine abode is in the full assembly of the saints. And this concludes the lesson from the book of Ecclesiasticus, the book of Sirach. Please stand for the recitation of the Holy Gospel. Bit interesting. I know that that is not the gospel that I just proclaimed. I will translate it. In that time, Mary went up into the mountain with great joy into the city, with great haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah, and there greeted Elizabeth. She did it, and as soon as the salutation reached the voice of Elizabeth, the child within her womb exulted, leapt up, and she, by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed in a great voice, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And what is this which has been done unto me, that she should come to me, the mother of my Lord? Behold, also, she who was made her voice of salutation in my ears, exalted in great joy the infant in my womb. And blessed is she who believed that the word which was given to her, which was said unto her by God. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." This concludes the recitation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. You may be seated. Apologize for that confusion there. Sometimes I don't read the book correctly. I'm quite fallible, quite fallible. Thanks be to God. So imperfect. One thing of note before I enter into the moment of the sermon. If you could pray in a special way for me. I know that I'm under some sort of little wild attack right now. It's trying to bring up unheard of anxieties at this time, which is why I was a little bit late getting up, a bit of a rough night. The Lord is in control of all things, and that whatever is going on there would be expelled by the power of God, and that Our Lady would seek to cover me with the shadow of her wings. Today, what do we celebrate? Our mother. Our mother is mom today, all over again. And this is a great joy for us. It's kind of a strange thing for me today not to have us come into Mass with the greetings of Our Lady today, without the, what do we call them? Las mañanitas. That's what I was singing in my heart. Unfortunately, I don't feel strong enough at this time to have done it all, the mañanitas de la Señora de Guadalupe, just from memory. Maybe after Mass, if you know them, I usually have to have them written down if it's not just the general one that we sing for birthdays, which I have memorized. And to sing that with your souls, because today is the day where we greet our mother. And that's what the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is all about, isn't it? It's all about the fact the Blessed Virgin is indeed our mother. If you were paying attention, if you knew it, or if you had it in your translations there, of the gradual, meaning that part that we say just before we proclaim the gospel, it's taken from various parts of these flowery parts of the wisdom literature within our sacred scripture, and it makes a reference very beautifully to the great miracle that Our Lady performed prior to her apparition being believed by the bishop Juan de Zumárraga. It talks about how the flowers are growing in places where they're not supposed to grow, and how beautiful they are, how sweet they smell. And that's exactly what Our Lady desires to do in the souls of all of her children, particularly those who are struggling. In essence, the soul of the Christian, the soul of the Catholic who is in difficulty, can be likened unto Mount Tepeyac. In that time, Mount Tepeyac was a relatively important mountain, but it was a very barren mountain. What time was she visited at? What time did she make her apparition known? At no other time but during these winter months. As it says, as we know from the account, that the mount was already begun to be covered with snow. The soul of the Catholic, the soul of the Christian who doesn't feel God, who feels distant from God, who's not receiving many graces, whether it's because of their own individual sin and rejecting God in that way, refusal to be healed within the Blessed Sacrament of Confession, which is truly a sacrament of God's love, of entrance into the life of grace once that grace has been lost, is like that covered mountain right there in the time of winter, Mount Tepeyac, which St. Juan Diego would try to traverse, but to go around an opposite way on this particular day because he could not be delayed for fear of the illness of his good uncle, who he loved dearly, Juan Bernardino. And so what Our Lady desires to do with the soul of all of her children, who she loves dearly, is to come visit in that very place which is known to be cold, the very place which is known to be barren, the very place which does not feel the warmth of God's love, but rather is snow-covered, not in the sense of beauty, but snow-covered in the sense of cold and frigid, and allows nothing to be grown in that time, totally within the dead of winter. If that is where your soul is at that time, if that is where you're feeling as though you're not visited by the Lord, you're not visited by Our Lady at that time, Our Lady has something for you today. In her apparition, she does what? She causes the miraculous growth of particular beautiful roses to come up on those who put even the slightest bit of staggering and stuttering faith in her ability to do just a little thing. All that St. Juan Diego had to do is simply obey. That was it. To simply make those first stuttering steps of trust. To do what? To neglect those things which were pressing, neglect those anxieties that were taking over his entire life, the very reason for his rushing and going the other direction around the hill. All that Saint Juan Diego had to do was far from a saint at that time. All he had to do was there at the part of the mountain where he was, at that low place, to leave his cares, his anxieties there, to drop them at the command of Our Lady, to put them aside, and just to do the thing that she asked. And if he would do it, then her reign would begin to come, not only over his life, not only over the cares that he had for his uncle, St. Juan Bernardino, who was at that moment suffering from an illness which was very apparent of death, but the entirety of a nation, a people, would begin to know their dignity, and souls would come to find Christ in a more radical way. Just required one man trusting Our Lady, one man trusting Our Lady who is a mother, trusting Our Lady who is a mother who wishes him to lay his anxieties and his fears down just to do a simple act of trust. Our Lady is asking, you and I similarly to do the same. In the cold of winter, that has set in upon our souls in times where we're weak, in times where we feel that we have absolutely nothing and every reason not to trust and not to obey and to stay there with the anxieties that we have that seem to be mounting. And we, just like Saint Juan Diego, feel that that's the only thing that we ourselves can do and it all relies upon us. That's the lie, is that it does not rely upon us. For we are not you and I. Humans as flesh, men and women, no matter the great responsibilities that have indeed been entrusted to us over the ones who have been given to us, we are not the blessed controller of all things. That is God. And when we take on that role of thinking that we are the blessed controller of all things, how is that different than our first parents, Adam, Eva, Adam and Eve? Did they not do the same? Think that they needed to be the ones who were the blessed controllers of all things, to be able to judge for themselves, not letting God do his thing, but to judge for themselves, this thing is right, this thing is wrong, this thing is good, this thing is evil, because I say so, usurping the very place of God. What is Our Lady's title under another name which we hold dear and our present pontiff holds dear as well? That's why he erected a statue there right next to the Vatican Basilica, right outside the Paul VI hall. Our Lady, undoer of knots. Our Lady, undoer of knots. Just as Eva tied a great knot in the human life of grace, the human soul, where grace was not able to get through that knot which was tied within the soul, Our Lady undoes that. To put our trust in her. Whatever there is that the knot, the difficulty, the hardship, the coldness which is set in your life, just a little act of trust, you and I leaving our anxieties at the foot, What can Our Lady do with that? These are the words which she spoke to Juan Diego. Hear them not as spoken to Juan Diego, but hear them truly as they were spoken to her children, her sons and her daughters, of whom you and I are.
She said this. She said,
listen, put it into your heart, my dearest and youngest son, my dearest and youngest daughter. That thing which disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you, it is nothing. Do not let your countenance, do not let your countenance or your heart be disturbed. Do not fear this sickness of your uncle or any other sickness, nor anything else that is sharp or hurtful. Am I not here? Am I not here? I who am your mother. Are you not under the shadow of my protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not found within the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything else more? Let nothing worry you. Let nothing disturb you. Do not let your uncle's illness worry you, because he will not die now. You may be certain that in fact he is already well. Let nothing worry you or disturb you, this anxiety which you have right now. Don't fear this sickness or any other sickness, especially not have any fear of anything at all which is sharp. The cares which we bury and the anxieties which we shoulder certainly are. She says what? The words that should give you and I supreme confidence. Am I not I here who am your mother? Let these words echo and reverberate in your soul. Now in the struggle that you have, but particularly when the struggle is greater, she just says, leave your anxiety there at the foot of the mountain. Go up in obedience, trustingly, to do the one thing which he has asked, which is really to find Christ. And see what good the Lord has in store for you through the trial and the difficulty that lay ahead. She is here. Indeed, who is your mother? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.